The Amazing Millennium. This is Sermon 6 in this series. And today we focus on prosperity, health and healing, and joy in the millennium. We'll all be part of that. We'll all be with Jesus on this earth for His thousand-year reign, the thousand-year or millennial reign of Christ. And our foundational scriptures, there's two of them, Zechariah 14, 3, 4, 8 through 9, the Lord shall go forth and fight against the nations, that His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. Thus the Lord will come, and in that day living waters will flow from Jerusalem, and the Lord will be king over all the earth. That's speaking of Jesus, king over the earth. Then in Revelation 20 and 6, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. That reference, first resurrection, is talking about what takes place at the rapture of the church. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. They shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him, Jesus, 1,000 years, 1,000 years on this earth. Prosperity. Prosperity in the millennium. Let's look at that first part of the sermon today. Prosperity is, you look at the whole world and it seems like there's an upheaval everywhere, an uncertainty everywhere, even in the markets. The market had an incredible week this last week with a significant nosedive over several days, and it had a little bounce back up toward the end of the week. That creates a sense of, well, do we have prosperity or are we going to have problems economically? And that's always on people's minds and hearts. There was a fellow running to be president of the United States. His name's Herbert Hoover. You might have remembered his little saying when he was running to be president in 1928. His claim was a chicken in every pot and a car in every garage. And that slogan, he thought that's going to help me win the presidency. Well, it did. He did win and become the president of the United States. The conditions in America at that time made that promise meaningful and important to folks that heard it. You think about it, after the carnage that had occurred around the world in World War I, families began to prosper in the early 1920s as advances in technology and new industry spurred new factories and new jobs and a lot of growth. And people were very optimistic through that period of time about the future of our nation, the economic future of our nation. In fact, in one of Mr. Hoover's speeches right before the 1928 election, he promised that he would bring a final triumph over poverty. Well, that's a big promise, isn't it? He's going to bring a final triumph over poverty. Of course, we know that in just less than a year into his presidency came the shock of what was known as Black Tuesday, the stock market crash of 1929. And even after Black Tuesday, the market continued to fall. And by July the 8th of 1932, just 3 years later, the stock market had lost 90%. Can you imagine? It had lost 90% of its pre-crash or pre-fall value. That was dramatic. Well, as we know, other presidents through the years have made promises of prosperity and economic abundance. Franklin D. Roosevelt, he defeated Hoover, if you remember, after Hoover had only served one term. Roosevelt defeated him because he had a promise. What was his promise? You remember his promise? It was a new deal. I've got a new deal for America. President Eisenhower, he ran on the promise of peace and prosperity. President Clinton, he ran on the promise that he was going to put people first ahead of everything else. He's going to put people first. And there's a fellow named Donald Trump. He made a promise, and he's still making that promise, to make America great again. He ran on that promise twice. He's now been president twice. Of course, the reality is that this morning we all realize by now that no human leader can establish an economic system that will produce prosperity for all of humanity. We know that won't happen because in the world there's still too much greed and injustice. It's too strong and too active in the minds and hearts of humanity for us to have that kind of prosperity for the whole world. But I want to remind all of us this morning that a day is coming. A day is coming when we're not going to rely on any political leaders anymore or any of their false promises that they're trying to make. Because a day is going to come when Christ himself will set his steady hand at the wheel of the world's economic engines. And prosperity and blessings will be unimaginable of what begins to take place in this earth during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. The millennium, it'll be a 1,000-year period of glorious grace from Christ, a 1,000-year period of harmony, a 1,000-year period where Satan is removed from society, his influence is withdrawn, there'll be no more war, there'll be no more destruction, there'll be no more hunger, there'll be no more poverty, there'll be no more injustice. In fact, the prophet Amos was speaking of what it was going to be like in the millennium. And he wrote these words. We have it for you on Amos 9 and 13. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him who sows seed. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. Amos is saying that the earth and the conditions surrounding the earth are going to be so fertile during the 1,000-year reign of Christ that there will be no barren or dead space of winter between the planting and harvesting of crops. If you look at his words, he's saying the plowman is going to overtake the reaper. While they're still out gathering their crops, there's going to be somebody coming right behind them, plowing new seeds and planting a whole new crop without even having to wait. It's like, you know, if you could just imagine, some of you guys that have been in farming and know farming, imagine a big case IH combine harvester, and it's collecting a bountiful harvest, and as it's going through the field collecting this huge harvest, there's a big John Deere tractor coming right behind it. And that John Deere tractor is just pulling one of those big old massive 24-row tiller planters. And it's just tilling and planting at the same time. Right in front of it, all the crops are being harvested. That's really what the Word of God is saying. It's going to be amazing, the abundance, the fertility, the blessings that will come. Even the prophet Ezekiel, he has a few words to say. Look at his words here in Ezekiel 36, 29 through 30. I will call for the grain and multiply it and bring no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees and the increase of your fields so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. That prophecy is speaking specifically of this 1,000-year reign of Christ when Christ rules and reigns on the earth. It'll be 1,000 years of unparalleled, unimagined prosperity. Other Old Testament prophets have looked forward to this age and they look forward to it with joy and hope. In fact, in the prophet Joel's days, Joel was prophesying, you can think about what Israel was like. Yes, Israel had a few rivers, but they relied mostly on rain. They relied on water storage. They had cisterns and they had wells to make it through the time of dryness until the next rain. And as far as crops went, that first rain was critical. The first rain was critical for preparing the soil to receive the seed for planting. And then the latter rain was vital for the growth and maturity of the crops so they would continue to grow and have a great harvest. Joel speaks of how it will be in the millennium. Look at his words. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with new wine. What is Joel saying? He's saying in the millennium, both the former and the latter rain will produce and come together just like clockwork. There won't be any worries, there won't be any guessing, there won't be any uncertainty. It's just going to happen like clockwork. In fact, Isaiah even goes on, he adds, I will open the rivers in desolate heights, the fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. The result of all these great blessings of water and just the amount of water at just the right time will be a supply of food in abundance. A supply of food. Harvest will be plentiful. Nobody will be deprived of their daily need of sustenance and food because it'll all be happening under the rule and the reign of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He will be on this earth making sure everything goes perfectly and that every person on this earth has their needs met. You think Jesus can do that? I guarantee you he can do that. He can do that. He'll be here ruling and reigning, and we'll be here with him. A young 14-year-old girl, her name was Lauren Schroeder, and she was volunteering at a local food nonprofit organization that gave out food to the needy and the poor. While she was volunteering, she would be packing bags of groceries that folks would take out the door when they left. And she noticed that as she was packing these bags of groceries, there was one thing missing, and that was fresh vegetables. Oh, they had all these other foods and canned goods and all this stuff, but there were no fresh vegetables at all, nothing fresh at all that they would carry out from this food pantry. So this young 14-year-old girl, Lauren, asked her mom and dad if she could have a little plot of land on their 150-acre farm and use this little plot of land to raise some fresh vegetables to help the folks in need in her community. Well, the farm that her parents ran, it was a farm that raised soybeans and corn, so they said, well, we'll help you a little bit, but this is your project, you'd be responsible for it. So she planted lettuce and carrots, she planted tomatoes, and she planted zucchini. And her initial harvest that she had about 400 pounds of food. That's pretty good. And she distributed that food all through the food bank and also to a soup kitchen and also to a nursing home. This young girl found out how hard it was to work that ground to make those crops come up and what it required. She had to hand water all of it. She hand watered every bit of it. And she also learned that in harvesting crops, you had to do a lot of bending over. And those of us that have aged here, I know some of you don't understand this, but when you bend over a lot, your back gets real sore. It does. She learned that even as a young 14-year-old girl. But she kept going. The next year, she planted 15 varieties of vegetables. And over the course of 2 years, she had donated, listen to this, she had donated more than 7,000 pounds of fresh, nutritious food to her community in Dixon, Iowa. Her goal was stated at that time was to donate 20,000 pounds before she would head off to college. What a committed young woman she was. When she was interviewed, she told the reporter, she said, I'm learning a lot as I go. I'm learning a lot and I love giving back. What a great spirit that is. But you know, the truth is this. Those kind of donations and projects will be completely unnecessary in Christ's millennial reign. But this young girl, Lauren, she shows a spirit of generosity and a care for other folks that will be the kind of spirit that will be all over the world during Christ's reign. Isn't that going to be wonderful? It's going to be incredible. His kingdom, I'll tell you, Christ's kingdom on this earth for that 1,000 years will be a kingdom of abundance, of generosity and goodness for all of us on this earth. I can't wait. How about you? It's going to be incredible. So we've looked at prosperity. Let's take a minute and look at the second point this morning, and that's health and healing during the millennium. Harry and Martha Thomason have been the directors of Pleasant Hills Children's Home for almost 25 years. During that time, this couple has done an incredible job of loving and caring for these kids in crisis and turning around an organization that was financially just bankrupt and a mess. And their leadership and their love and their care for that ministry is just amazing. Last year, Martha was in an automobile accident on her way to church. And she's taken to the hospital and they scanned her body to make sure everything was okay. When they did that scan, the scan revealed some kind of growth on one of her kidneys. They did other tests. They did a biopsy, and they found that it was cancer. And they went in to remove part of that kidney, and unfortunately, when they went in, they had to remove all the entire kidney. They also found that apparently there was other cancer growing in her body, other parts of her body. So right now, today, Martha Thomason is receiving treatments for that cancer. And I tell you, there are literally thousands of people lifting Martha up in prayer, believing God for a miracle. She's on my prayer list. She's on our church prayer list. Every morning when I'm praying, I'm lifting Martha up. Many of you do the same thing. There's thousands of people all over Texas doing the same thing for Martha. And by the grace of God, by His grace of healing, I'm believing that God's going to touch her and give her complete healing and deliverance from that sickness in her body. But imagine living in a world where cancer and sickness is virtually non-existent and death is very rare. Think of a place where hospitals are no longer needed and pharmacies aren't needed. In fact, pharmacies are just converted into a farmer's market. I can just see Steve Hipps and Jerry Morgan and Marty Nell taking all their fine woodworking crafts that they do, that they take to the Bikini's farmer's market, taking all those things. They could just go into an empty drugstore and set up and have a big old sale in there. That worked real good. And Anthony Warren could come in there with all that fresh natural honey and set it up in there. You could just go in the grocery store. You could go into the empty pharmacies and all that stuff would be there. What a blessing. Y'all have a great time doing that, wouldn't you? That'd be wonderful. That'd be great. The world will be such a place during the millennial reign of Christ that, just think about it, no sickness, no need of drugs, no need of medicine, no need of doctors. Oh, we'll have one great physician. His name is Jesus. He's the great physician, and there'll be no charge for His services. And won't that be beautiful? That's a great thing. Isaiah references this reality. Look at his words. Isaiah 33 and 17 and 24. Your eyes, I love this part. Your eyes will see the King and His beauty. We're going to see the King and His beauty. Your eyes will see the King and His beauty, and the inhabitant will not say, I am sick. Hallelujah. We'll never say, I'm sick again when we're with Jesus in that millennial reign. In other words, the millennium will be a season of unprecedented health and wellness. People will live for hundreds of years without their bodies breaking down. Of course, many residents on the earth at that time will possess a new glorified body. If you're part of the rapture, you're part of the resurrection. You've got a new glorified body. Christians that have died before the rapture, we know that they're caught up with you and I in a meeting in the air, as the Bible tells us. And then we go to be with the Lord and we have new glorified bodies. And those new glorified bodies will never have any illness ever. And they will last forever and forever. Look at this word in 1 Corinthians. Paul writes of this in 1 Corinthians 15, 42, 43, and 53. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to live forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. They are buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. You get that part? I love that. That will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. I'm going to tell you, things will be different. Things will be different because of that. Things will be different for those who accepted God's gift of salvation during the tribulation. If they're living during the tribulation, they missed the rapture, they were lost, they weren't serving Christ at the point of the rapture, but they got saved during the tribulation period. They got saved during the tribulation. When Christ comes back to rule and reign during that 1,000-year period of time, those folks, they're still in their fleshly bodies. Everybody understand that? They don't have the glorified bodies like we do. They're still in their fleshly bodies. But even so, the Lord's promises from Scripture will apply to all the inhabitants of Christ's millennial reign. If you remember, the millennial reign of Christ is really a transitional period between the old earth and the new heavens and the new earth and the new city of Jerusalem that God promises us in the book of Revelation. And we know in eternity we'll have no sickness, no pain, no sorrow, no suffering, no death of any kind. During the 1,000-year reign of Christ, sickness and death for those even still in their physical earthly bodies. During that 1,000-year reign of Christ, even for those folks, sickness and death will be rare. Will be rare. Death will be rare. You remember the Bible tells us as we read, especially the New Testament, the Bible tells us story after story of the miracles that Jesus did. Of Jesus going about healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, restoring the hearing of the deaf, cleansing the lepers, and even raising the dead. All of those were part of his earthly ministry for just about 3 years before he was crucified. Our Lord didn't cure everybody on the earth during that time, but he cured many folks, but he didn't cure everybody. In fact, considering the world's population, you can make the case he only cured a few during those years that he was on the earth. But that ministry was just a preview of the healing ministry that he will exercise during the millennium. In fact, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 29 and 18, and that day, speaking of that 1,000-year reign of Christ, and that day the deaf shall hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. They're going to see, they're going to hear. In Isaiah 35 and 6, the lame shall leap like a deer. Oh, hallelujah. And the tongue of the dumb will sing, because Christ Jesus, the great physician, is going to take care of all of it. Every miracle, you think about it, every miracle that Jesus performed that's recorded in the Gospels, he will multiply that exponentially and globally during his millennial reign on this earth. In fact, we know this, that even now, today, he touches our lives. And he touches us. He gives us the grace and miracle of healing. He gives us those gifts of healing as we call up him in faith. Oh, the great physician, someday, he's going to give us everlasting, eternal healing of body, mind, and soul that'll never wear out, that'll never get sick, that will last forever. And I'm so thankful that even now, even today, Jesus could touch you and I more deeply, more wonderfully, more special than we could ever imagine. We thank God for those touches today. We feel his love and we feel his power. And we feel his presence. He gives us great joy even now, doesn't he? Even today, joy can be ours because we know Christ is our Lord and Savior. And speaking of joy, the third point is the joy in the millennium. Are you aware that March the 20th has been designated as the International Day of Happiness and Joy by the General Council of the United Nations? Are you aware of that? Yeah. In fact, their declaration that March 20th is the International Day of Joy and Happiness, it coincides with the United Nations World Happiness Report. Y'all familiar with that, aren't you? You think I'm making this up, but it's true. It seems so silly, but it is true. Think about it. The United Nations, that most of which funding comes from our country, spends all of this money doing something called the International Day of Happiness and Joy, and they provide with it a report to the whole world on what's called World Happiness Report. I guarantee you, the United Nations won't be around during the millennial reign of Christ because we're not going to need it. But if it was around and they did a world happiness report, it would just fly off the charts, wouldn't it? Because if they begin to measure happiness during the millennium, it'll be happiness unlike anything they could ever imagine today when they come out with their silly report on world happiness. The Bible tells us that the millennium will be an exhilarating era of contentment, happiness, and never-ending joy. Can you imagine that? Living every day that way, waking up every morning, every day, happiness and unending joy. You remember as you look back in the Old Testament, The nation of Israel reached its, I guess you could call it, its Old Testament zenith, if you would, or greatness, under the reign of King Solomon. It was a time of peace and incredible prosperity throughout all of Israel. In fact, the prosperity became known during the ancient world during that time. And you know the story, there was a queen of the south known as the Queen of Sheba. And she came and visited to see, is it true? Everything I've heard, is it really all this wealth and prosperity and happiness, is it really happening in the nation of Israel? The Bible tells us in 1 Kings 10, 8 through 9, the Queen of Sheba came and she saw, and her words are recorded in the Bible. She says, how happy your people must be. How happy your officials who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Praise be to the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and placed you on the throne of Israel. Those were her words to King Solomon. She's noticing this nation is full of joy, is full of happiness. Of course, that was just temporary for that season and that era, wasn't it? Because we all know that Solomon, later his heart turned away from God. And that wonderful golden kingdom that he had been reigning over soon became tarnished just as rusted iron tarnishes. But thankfully, that will not be true during Christ's millennial reign on this earth. During his 1,000-year reign, nothing will tarnish the incredible happiness and joy, oh, that will be filling the whole earth. Because you know what? It'll be full of the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, his joy will be so amazing. In fact, Isaiah prophesies about this in the millennial kingdom in Isaiah 9:3. You've multiplied the nation, look at this next part, and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Then Isaiah 14:7. The whole earth is at rest and quiet. They break forth into singing. You know, when people have joy in their hearts, they love to sing. Do y'all sing at home? Maybe you sing in the shower or whatever. You sing. I tell you, at my house, every morning when I wake up, my wife is singing. I'm telling you. It's true. She's walking through the house. I can hear her just singing it. Every kind of song that we've sung the Sunday before, Wednesday night before, whatever God puts, she's always singing a song. I love it. I think it's great. Isaiah, look at these words from Isaiah 55:12. And the Lord, y'all read this before, haven't you? And the Lord will wipe away tears from their faces. You shall have a song in the night when a holy festival is kept, and gladness of heart when one goes with the flute. For you shall go out with joy, be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the fields will clap their hands. Listen, if God can make that donkey that Balaam owned start talking, he can make mountains and trees sing and rejoice and clap their hands. It's an expression speaking of the incredible joy that will be in the world when Christ comes back to this earth. It'll be full of peace, joyful feelings. They'll be permanent during the millennium. And one of the greatest verses, one of the most well-known verses of well-being in the Bible, is a description of life in the millennium. I bet this is a verse you've read many times and didn't realize it's really speaking of life in the millennium. Isaiah 35:10 through the NIV. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. Listen to that expression. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Can you imagine this scene? Can you imagine this scene where suddenly we're on the earth, Jesus is on the earth with us, and gladness and joy, they run after us, they overtake us, and they fill us with Christ's supernatural joy. They come after us, they overtake us, and they fill us with the joy. That's what the Word's telling us, isn't it? Sorrow, sighing, they'll never exist. There'll never be sorrow or sighing. It says it'll flee away. I conclude today by reminding all of us that the rapture of the church, Christ stepping out on the clouds, the trumpet sounding, and the voice of the archangel, that rapture of the church can occur any day. Any day. And when that rapture occurs and we go to be with the Lord in heaven, it will be just 7 short years. Because we're with Christ in heaven during the 7 years of the tribulation. Think about it. If Christ were to take us all to heaven tonight with the rapture, and just 7 short years after that, we'll come back with Jesus to this earth. He'll step on the Mount of Olives, as the Bible tells us. It's the same place he was standing when he ascended into heaven. He's coming back to the same place. He's bringing us back to earth with him. And we will enjoy worldwide happiness and joy, the likes of which the earth has never seen. The likes of which the earth has never seen. You know, that sounds like an expression President Trump likes to use sometimes. The likes of which we've never seen. You know, he says that a lot. Now, sometimes he's kind of prone to maybe stretching it a little bit when he says that. But we understand what he's trying to tell us. We understand what the Word of God's going to tell us. It's going to be the likes of which we've never seen or imagined when we're with Jesus during that millennial reign on this earth. But I've got to say one last thing. We don't have to wait until then to have that joy in our hearts. We don't have to wait till then to have the peace of God overwhelming us. We don't have to wait till then to be in that right relationship with our Heavenly Father, because all we've got to do today is reach up to Him and ask Him to come into our hearts, forgive us of our sins, to be our Lord and Savior. He'll fill us with joy and happiness and peace and promises, and we'll feel the wonderful closeness of our Savior and the friendship of knowing Jesus. We can have that today, right now. Aren't you thankful you know Him today? Aren't you thankful He's your Savior today? All we've got to do is just remember that at His resurrection, at Christ's resurrection, He gave us a command. It's a simple one-word command. He said, rejoice. Oh, let us rejoice. We're the church. Let us rejoice. We have a Savior. We have a hope. We have a future. We should rejoice. It should fill our hearts. It should be so wonderful even now today because of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, for the hope the Word of God gives us, the promises that saturate our minds and our hearts as we read your word, that reminds us of what awaits us, what a future we have, what a wonderful hope we have, and how blessed we are here now today because we know Jesus personally in our hearts. Thank you for that grace. Thank you for that wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. Thank you, Father, for that blessing. We can't say praise God enough for all you've done for us now today and what you will be doing for us for all of eternity. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We can't say thank you enough. Amen, 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 amen.